Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Permit me to share a story with you today. It begins like this. When Jack Moore was a boy, and it was summertime, and he wasn't perched on the counter of his grandpa's store, resting and listening, you could almost always find him down the road a piece, playing baseball. If you came down to the pasture looking and didn't find a baseball game going, then you would always know to follow a well-marked path that went on past where the right fielder would have been, under a barbed wire fence, through a hollow or two, and beneath some thick bushes. By that time, if you hadn't gotten lost, you would be on the bank of Big Black Creek, which is not the same as Little Black Creek, and you would surely be hearing a lot of hooting and hollering. Then if you just kept following your nose, you would be there, at Jack's favorite swimming hole of all time. If you'd come looking for Jack when he was a boy, and if you had found him there, you could have been a witness to the making of some of the happiest memories of all life. Sometimes, mostly, they just shut their clothes and jumped in. Other times, they keep on their overalls since they mostly needed washing, and it was fun to squeeze the air from the pocket while treading water. Jack can still hear the squishing sound and still see the bubbles erupting. Jack moved away. Nobody asked him if he wanted to move. There was a depression in the land, and folks were as depressed as the next family. They didn't have much choice about it anyway. Nearly every summer, for a long time, he came back and lit out for Big Black Creek as soon as Grandma made sure he was all right. She would check him over one way and then the other, talking to herself all the while. Jack thinks she thought that city living was killing him. Maybe it was the city living that was making him soft, because every year the water would seem colder and he began to shivering as he trotted along the path to his first swim. But those years that Jack went back every summer were almost as good as the years before. Almost. But then he moved again, a lot further away. He was old enough to get a paying job when he wasn't going to school, so he didn't get back as often, and he couldn't stay as long. So it changed. Wasn't the same. Know what I mean? For one thing, Jack was well on his way to becoming a city-fied smart aleck. And swimming holes without concrete bottoms, diving boards, and girls didn't do a lot for him anymore. Finally, the day came when he was back in that little town and didn't go near the old swimming hole. Part of his life had ended. But just a little while back, Jack was passing through that part of his childhood. The town itself didn't seem much changed. The houses were older and there were some new ones. They tore down the old hospital that used to sit across from the lumber mill, right handy for their accidents. And they built a new one about a mile away on the west side of town, right along the side of the cemetery. Before he could leave that day, he had to go and take a look at his most favorite swimming hole in all the world. Now, you're expecting, aren't you, that he found a shopping mall in that pasture where they used to play ball, and a super highway slashing across the fields, and his Big Black Creek swimming hole was gone forever, right? Wrong. Big Black was almost unchanged. And the swimming hole was still there. And Jack sat on the bank alone, listening to the laughter of Bish and Cedar and Azzy and of Sam and Buttermilk and Ozzy and Toxie. He heard the voices of playmates by dozens. The memories were bright. And the day was good. And he was glad. Memories. Life. And memories. Thanks be to God for memories. What do you have fond memories of this morning as you think back to days gone by? Life is so full of memory. Some of those memories recalled are thoughts of happiness. Some, unfortunately, are thoughts of sadness and pain. And I suspect if there's anything this coronavirus mess is doing, it's putting our families closer together and creating memories we will never forget. Paul wrote two letters to a young evangelist whose name was Timothy. The second of those letters, the second epistle of Paul, the apostle to Timothy, contains these words. And if you have your Bibles, I'm over in the book of 2 Timothy in the first chapter, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Beautiful words. Paul remembered Timothy. He knew his roots. He knew his childhood. He knew his mother and his grandmother, and he knew what kind of upbringing Timothy experienced. And he turns to Timothy and he says through his letter, when I call to remembrance, and then he says, therefore I remind you. Today, for the moments we share together in this audio sermon, I want each of you to remember as well. A first thought this morning. Paul says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. You see, Timothy had an advantage that so many people in the world don't share with him. Timothy had a family that was built on genuine faith in God and Christ. His mother had it. Paul says his grandmother had it. Think about Timothy's childhood memories. He might have had a most favorite swimming hole in all the world to look back on. But he had something else. Timothy had a family life centered around the church and Christ. And living the faith that they possessed, Paul was persuaded that the faith of his family was in Timothy as well. How could it not be? You see, the responsibility of Christian parents is to do just that. In Ephesians 6:4, we read, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And way back in the 22nd Proverbs, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Paul looks at Timothy and he sees a product of a Christian family. And so he knows that the faith of God is in him. "Do you remember, Timothy?" That's what Paul's saying. "Be stirred up by your remembrance." I'm stirred by my remembrances of my experiences concerning God and Christ and the church. I remember Memorial Christian when I was just a teenager and visiting with a sweet young girlfriend that I eventually married. I remember JD's brother Paul and the strong preaching and interesting illustrations that he told. I remember the people and the place and the learning that took place and the spiritual growth that I undertook. I remember the beginnings of North Memorial Christian Church, which was renamed Babcock Road Christian Church when we moved to Babcock Road. There was just six of us in the beginning. Paul and Phyllis, JD and Pat, Trisha and I. Then there were others that came. I remember the hard times and Paul's untimely death and my struggle to fill shoes far too big to fill. I remember the patience and understanding folks had as we struggled together to build a church home for all who desired to follow Christ. I remember the good times and the sad times. I remember those that have died in the faith, those that have left the faith, and those that have grown in the faith. And those memories will be there, but only because dedicated Christians are in the church house and in God's word each week during the good times and the struggles, learning, growing, fellowshipping with like-minded Christians. Being at home during these difficult times doesn't have to keep you out of God's word. Gather your family together. Create fond memories of your time together in the word while you're in your homes. Paul's letter to Timothy carries several themes in these few verses that I want you to remember. He uses, for example, the word ashamed and the thought of suffering for the gospel. That's a fitting second thought today. Paul says in verse 8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." It's a beautiful poem that goes like this. "I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground, the fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushes aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nestles everywhere, the seeds neglected sown. The years had passed while I cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go while minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, 'O Lord, forgive. I have not much time left for thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all.'" Yes, sometimes memories are painful. I wonder if we're honest with ourselves this morning. How many are embarrassed at the way we have acted? How many are willing to forsake our Lord and his word rather than stand in the faith unwavering until the end? How many are really ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? How many unwilling to share in the sufferings for the gospel? Are we willing to really have what Paul calls a genuine faith? Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God saves us. Paul, no, he was a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. He suffered for the faith. He suffered trying to stand as a Christian in the devil's world. He knew what it was like. Look in verse 12. "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Paul knew one last thing that he wanted Timothy to remember, a third thought for us to remember this day. See, Paul says in verse 9 that God has called us with a holy calling. I'm a Texas Aggie. It was a half a century ago. Memories of Aggieland are memories of both good and bad, so it may be with any education and any school. One memory I have was about a saying. It was prevalent when someone didn't like being at A&M for any reason. The saying was simply this: Highway 6 runs both ways. Now, Highway 6 was the highway that crossed right in front of the campus. If you go left out of the campus, you go through Waco, you eventually end up north, touching up to Oklahoma. And if you go right out of the campus, you end up tying into 290 and find yourself in Houston. Indeed, Highway 6 ran both ways for a long distance. You could come into the campus, or you could go out from the campus. The direction you traveled depended upon you. I remember driving my old green 68 GTO down Highway 6 and one day catching a view of the campus and the sign with Highway 6 with arrows pointing both directions. And I caught it looking into my rearview mirror. And I remember it because the thought hit me that I could have made a mint selling posters made with a picture of the university and Highway 6 sign all framed in one rearview mirror image. People are always looking back. They wonder about the decisions they made, the directions they chose in life. Sometimes we regret the choices we made. Viewing our mistakes of the past often makes us afraid of the future. It's the same way with faith. Paul reminds Timothy, and he reminds us, that God called us with a holy calling. God has a purpose for us. And Paul says it isn't our purpose, but according to his own purpose, God's purpose. God has called you, God has called me, and he has a purpose for us now, and a purpose for us in the future. Just like God called Paul, he said, to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Just like God called Timothy to be a great evangelist, God calls you and me. But do we hear the call? Do we respond, or do we flee? You see, Timothy had an advantage that few people share. Paul told him in verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Then he adds in verse 14, "That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Timothy had the word of God because Paul taught him those words. Paul said to hold fast those words because they are a good thing. You have that word. We have learned it together. Hold fast that word. It's a good thing. Paul calls you this morning through those words. The words are sound words, according to Paul. Words of faith. Words of obedience. The word of God gave Paul strength even when he was in prison. And he knows that they're going to give Timothy strength and endurance as well. That's why he calls them to remember them. Just keep them in remembrance, he says. My friends, we may be in difficult times at the moment. But if we hold fast to those sound words of God and Christ, they're going to do the same thing for you and for me. May God continue to bless you during these difficult days. We will be together again soon in the Lord's house. Amen.